Well, welcome to our segment two, and this is where we do our Bible study, as you just heard. So we are ready to open up our Bibles to 1 Samuel with our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert. Beth, thanks for joining us.
Hey there, Amy. Well, today we're going to pick back up in 2 Samuel, and we're going to see the process as David is the chosen king of Judah and the anointed king by God, but there's a usurper on the throne of Israel right now. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 2 Samuel chapter 2, and we'll be starting in verse 18 and reading through chapter 3, verse 1. And the three sons of Zeruiah were there, Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. Now Asahel was as swift of foot as a wild gazelle. And Asahel pursued Abner, and as he went, he turned neither to the right nor to the left from following Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and said, "Is that you, Asahel?" And he said, "It is I." Abner said to him, "Turn aside to your right hand or to your left, and seize one of the young men and take his spoil." But Asahel would not turn aside from following him. And Abner said again to Asahel, "Turn aside from following me. Why should I strike you to the ground? How then could I lift up my face to your brother Joab?" But he refused to turn aside. Therefore Abner struck him in the stomach with the butt of his spear, so that the spear came out at his back. And he fell there and died where he was. And all who came to the place where Asahel had fallen and died stood still. But Joab and Abishai pursued Abner. And as the sun was going down, they came to the hill of Ammah, which lies before Giah on the way to the wilderness of Gibeon. And the people of Benjamin gathered themselves together behind Abner and became one group, and took their stand on the top of the hill. Then Abner called to Joab, "Shall the sword devour forever? Do you not know that the end will be bitter? How long will it be before you tell your people to turn from the pursuit of their brothers?" And Joab said, "As God lives, if you had not spoken, surely the men would not have given up the pursuit of their brothers until the morning." So Joab blew the trumpet, and all the men stopped and pursued Israel no more, nor did they fight anyone. And Abner and his men went all night that night through the Arabah. They crossed the Jordan, and marching the whole morning, they came to Mahanaim. Joab returned from the pursuit of Abner, and when he had gathered all the people together, there were missing from David's servants 19 besides Asahel. But the servants of David had struck down of Benjamin 360 of Abner's men. And they took up Asahel and buried him in the tomb of his father, which was at Bethlehem. And Joab and his men marched all night, and the day broke upon them at Hebron. There was a longer war between the house of Saul and the house of David. And David grew stronger and stronger, while the house of Saul became weaker and weaker. And sons were born to David at Hebron. His first was Amnon of Ahinoam of Jezreel, and his second, Chileab of Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel, and the third, Absalom, the son of Machi, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur, and the fourth, Adonijah, the son of Haggith, and the fifth, Shephatiah, the son of Abital, and the sixth, Ithream of Eglah, David's wife. These were born to David in Hebron. Okay, so remember where we stopped yesterday. There was a fight between the 24 champions, where all 24 died, and then a fierce battle where David's men defeated men from their own nation, the men of Israel, who were fighting for Ishbosheth. Well, Abner hit the road after the fighting. He had lost, and he knew it, and he wasn't staying around for his enemy's celebration in case it involved his own head on a stick. Abner, who was Saul's cousin, remember, is running away from the fight that he and Joab, David's nephew, had started. Joab's brother, so another of David's nephews, Asahel, pursues Abner. He's ambitious. He wants the glory of having killed the general of the army of Israel. But it was really kind of silly for him to do this. Abner was a veteran soldier. Asahel was a rookie. He's dogged in his pursuit, ignoring others that he could have taken prisoner, focused on Abner alone. Abner does not want to make the hostility between himself and Joab any stronger, and he does not want to kill Asahel. He pretty much begs Asahel not to continue the pursuit, but he does so in a way that will allow Asahel to save face and not be disgraced. He doesn't tell Asahel to turn back, That would have been a disgrace to Asahel, but he tells him to take prisoner one of the men around them, because Abner knows that Asahel is no match for him in battle. But Asahel refuses to listen, so Abner, in order to escape with his life, kills Asahel in the battle. As the rest of the army, who appear to be following the pursuit from a distance, as they arrive, they all stop and see Asahel dead. And, I imagine, they're roused to greater heights of passion to destroy Abner and the army of Israel. Joab and Abishai continue the pursuit of Abner to avenge their dead brother all the way to where Abner finally stops, with an army of his own at his back. The Benjamites, Saul's tribe, has regrouped and is standing with Abner. Now, Abner could take this opportunity to destroy Joab and Abishai too. However, he calls out to them and asks them to stop their pursuit. He reminds them that they're basically fighting a civil war that they tried to prevent with the 24 champions, a civil war pitting friend against friend and brother against brother. Abner's words speak to Joab, and he and Abishai stop their pursuit. They hold back their army and allow Abner and his men to march away, and they march back to their own camp to take a head count and see who was gone. It's interesting to note here the minimal losses that David's army had. Either he lost 31 total, including the 12 from the 24 champions who were killed, or 7 total dead from actual battle. That's a huge difference from how many men that Israel lost. Well, Joab buries his brother in Bethlehem, and then they march back to Hebron, where David is. Unfortunately, this armistice, this agreement to not fight anymore, isn't to last permanently. Chapter 3, verse 1 kind of makes me sad. It's sad to me that the fight should continue for a long time. It's also sad to me that Saul's house got weaker and weaker. Saul was the first king of Israel. It's heartbreaking that his line should fall apart because of his actions. He should have been celebrated and remembered for amazing things as the first king of Israel. Instead, what most people remember about Saul is that he went nuts and tried to kill David. An illustration of how David's house grew stronger and stronger is given in the list of David's offspring in chapter 3, verses 2 through 5, which is why I read that here. There are names in this genealogy who we will see again, unfortunately mostly for not good things. But we do also see that David has taken more wives, most likely as political allies. Yet another way in which David's house is strengthening, but this is also a way in which we see that David is disregarding God's law. In Deuteronomy 17, God gives the people laws concerning their kings, and right there in black and white, it says in Deuteronomy 17:17, "And he shall not acquire many wives for himself, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he acquire for himself excessive silver and gold." The reason for not acquiring extra wives was so that his heart wouldn't turn away from God. Same thing for the excessive wealth. Wealth can become an idol so easily. And God specifically tells kings to not acquire extra wealth for themselves. Not wealth to provide for the kingdom, but selfish wealth. All the things that we read about here have lasting implications. Abner's decision to try to make Ishbosheth king and the majority of Israel's refusal to accept David as king wreak havoc on so many lives, especially now with this civil war. I know David continued to seek God and to try to do his will and allow God to deal with David's enemies, but David was still human and he did still sin. But what about everyone else connected with this? Did Abner seek God to see if he was making the right decision? Did the tribes of Israel seek God to see who God had chosen as the next king? I don't think so, mostly because if they had sought God, I don't think the fighting would have lasted as long as it did. Or rather, if they sought God and followed his directions, the fighting wouldn't have lasted as long as it did. Think about all the lives that could have been saved. Think about all the hostility that could have been avoided. Think about all the grudges that probably arose from this. The, "you killed my brother, I don't like your family" kinds of stuff. Think about how Saul could have helped prevent this if he had been acting as a model for Abner, his general, and for his son Ishbosheth, on seeking God and God's will before acting. But that didn't happen, and the consequences of that continue to spread. So today I'm going to ask us a question. Are you seeking God first and following his commands? Or are you looking at your life and at your sin and saying, well, it doesn't hurt anyone else. It's my issue. No one else is bothered by my sin. I'll deal with it. Only God can judge me. That last phrase, only God can judge me, is one that is often used when we know what we're doing is wrong, but we want to justify our sin. The truth is, if we really understood and believed that statement, that only God can judge us, that should scare the socks off of us. Think about it. If only God is our judge, we're never going to measure up. It's not an excuse to sin, but that should sober you up in a hurry. Your actions have consequences. Often they are very far-reaching. When we choose to do things God's way, the consequences of our actions are for His purpose and His glory, and are ultimately consequences for His will, which is good and pleasing and perfect. When we choose to sin, the consequences of our actions are not good, pleasing, or perfect. Yes, there is still forgiveness there. But when we are choosing to sin, what does that say about our hearts? Know that your actions do have consequences. For whose glory and good are you acting today?
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.